Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, September 4th, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you doing, John?
I am very good this morning. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. It's also really great to have Brian Chaffin here. How are you, Brian?
You smell that? That is the odor of victory in the air. That's what I'm seeing. I'm doing good. I'm doing good over here.
I know exactly what you're alluding to, and we will get to that later in the show. So, listeners, I asked everyone for your take on whether Brian was right or John was right about Apple potentially getting into making their own TV shows and movies. And boy, did we get some responses. So we are going to look at those. And based on your responses, I've been able to determine who was right, Brian or John.
And I shall bathe in the sweet scent of victory.
And I have my Spock ears on, so I'll have to be right.
and you soon will know. But before we dive in to that, I wanted to take a look at a piece that you hit yesterday, Brian. In the evening, you found some news that Apple is apparently getting ready to start doing some cleaning up on Apple Music.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So Oliver Schuster, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He is vice president of iTunes International at Apple. And he gave an interview to The Guardian, the English newspaper, the British newspaper even. And he spoke quite a bit about Apple Music. And one of the things that he said is, let me actually just get the whole quote. This is a quote. There's a lot of work going on into making the product better. Our focus is on editorial and playlist, and obviously we have teams all around the world working on that. And here's the kicker. But we're also adding features and cleaning up certain things, which is effectively an admission that there are things to be cleaned up. Not even effectively. It's an admission that there are things to be cleaned up.
Yeah, I was about to say effectively isn't appropriate in that sentence.
Yeah, I was unnecessarily hedging for sure. Yeah, it looks like Apple is aware that there are some problems and they're going to fix it. But I mean, you know, man, iTunes in general and Apple Music, it's the whole thing is definitely a big interface problem. The content is good. The features are good. The playlists have won accolades all over the place. Beats One Radio's work, you know, has been met with praise. Mm-hmm. But that interface definitely needs to be cleaned. It doesn't need to be cleaned up. It needs to be fixed. Fixed, I say.
So you do.
Oh, you mean there's room for improvement in the iTunes user interface?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I never knew.
Now, what I'm wondering is if these cleanup things that Apple is doing are because they knew that they needed to tackle these points even as they were rolling out Beats Music. And it comes down from that perspective to the whole thing about you launch when you can, not when you think you're perfect, because if you wait till you're perfect, you never launch. So I'm wondering if they did that, or if it was from feedback, they're like, holy crap, we thought we had this right. Now we have to fix it.
There's no way they thought they had it right. There's no way. It's just a mess. It's a mess. Anyone using it is going to know that it's a mess. And Apple certainly uses and eats their own dog food when they're doing this stuff. I mean, it's actually one of the reasons why Apple's products are usually so great is because they're making them for themselves. In this particular case, I don't know.
There's an interesting tension there. Apple has to come out with a lot of chutzpah and excitement and fan the flames of enthusiasm about these new products that aren't ready yet, because they have to in order to get people signed up and make the numbers look good. And then there's the sort of the sub-meme that says, no, you need to wait. Give everything Apple rolls out on a grandiose scale, 6 months. That tension there has got to break at some point.
You know, John, though, I don't think that Apple is worried about getting the numbers up. Mr. Schuster spoke directly to that. He said, "Our focus is more on the product than anything else. We spend most of our energy on that. That's more our priority than checking every hour the amount of people who have signed up. We have a long-term perspective on this."
That's true, and you and I have talked on this show before about how Apple Music is a long-term affair, and we should check in periodically at 12, 24, and 36 months. It'll be much better. And the numbers would be much better.
I think that's a really smart move.
I don't think... Apple has always, not always, but for many years, Steve Jobs and then Tim Cook have said that, you know, if we make a great product, the profits will take care of themselves.
Yeah, but the trick is distinguishing between the reality of these giant service projects and knowing that you shouldn't jump on them right away, and the buoyant enthusiasm at the beginning, wanting to be part of something big and jump on the bandwagon, and in some cases throw yourself on your sword. It's interesting to me.
Well, Apple isn't known for rolling out a completely finished product in the beginning. They put stuff out and then they iterate. And I think that's exactly what's happening here.
Yeah, and it's probably going to continue to happen, and that's okay. Now, there's one other interesting aspect of this, and I personally don't think that it's at all a coincidence that this interview is given the same week that Ian Rogers left.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I think you're absolutely right.
I mean, I think that Apple wanted to let the world know, especially the music world and the people that are paying attention to this, that this is something that's serious to them, that they're trying to fix it, and they're trying to make it better, and I wonder if this was already set in motion before the news broke that Ian Rogers left, or if it was a direct reaction to that, or maybe even if it was the tipping factor into making this interview happen, because there was a lot of this is not the sort of thing that we have been used to from Apple and its executives until very, very recently. This kind of interview, and this was for Apple, this was a huge inside look at what's going on.
Oh yeah, and I think, Brian, that regardless of what the impetus was for the review or the interview, that it was in some way directly related to Ian Rogers leaving.
Yeah.
So what we know now is that Apple is working on improving Apple Music, which sounds like a good thing. Even if you think it's already incredibly fantastic, if Apple makes it even better, well, then it will be even more incredibly fantastical for you.
Well, I think it's pretty undeniable that Apple has the features down. That while there's going to always be room for improvement for the playlist and more playlists, and maybe even a different way to approach playlists, et cetera, in the future, playlists and the radio stuff is good to go. Being able to play music from Apple Music is pretty much good to go. It's all about getting the interface now.
Yeah, and now that they have everyone on board, or a lot of people on board, well, there you go. Now they can start working on the interface part.
Keep working. Mostly pedantic.
Mostly pedantic. Well, I guess depending on who you talk to, start working or keep working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, which is really cool.
That is good.
Yeah, that sponsor. It's Downcast, the podcast management and playing app for the iPhone and iPad, which I think is really cool. So if you're not familiar with Downcast, what it is, it's an app that lets you manage and listen to the various podcasts that you enjoy, which could include Daily Observations. So it works on your iPhone in your iPad, and it also works on Apple Watch, which I think is really cool because Apple hasn't given us a good way to deal with podcasting on our Apple Watch yet. Also, works on your Mac. It has iCloud Sync support, so that means you can start listening to a show in one place, pick up somewhere else, meaning on a different device, and just pick up where you left off, which is really cool. You can use it for audio podcasts like the shows that we do here at Mac Observer. It works with video podcasts. It also supports Enhance podcasts. And if you're not familiar with Enhance podcasts, those are the ones that have all the extra stuff that's like loaded into them, so that it's enhanced. And you can stream your podcasts. You can download episodes for offline listening. It's a really great little app, and it only costs $2.99. And we have a link for you to use to go get your copy. Go to downcast.fm/TDO, and that'll link you right back in where you need to go on the App Store to download your copy. Go check it out. It's only $2.99, and it's worth so much more because it's a really great little app. I'm enjoying it. I've been using it for a little while. And if I'm enjoying it, everyone else deserves to be happy too. So thank you, Downcast, for being our sponsor today. Okay, now this is the part that I know you guys have been waiting for, and the backstory is a few days ago the two of you were on, and we were debating whether or not it makes sense for Apple to start producing their own television shows for Apple TV. Brian, you came down on the side of yes, Apple should. John, you came down on the side of no, Apple should not. So then,
hold on a second. Let me get in position here so that I can bathe in the scent of the laurel leaves that are about to come crashing down on me with such love.
And dream on, my friend. Dream on.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, so there definitely will be some laurel leaves, and that's because I asked our listeners to give me feedback and tell me which one of you is right. And I've tallied up the responses that came through Twitter, that came through email, and here's what it breaks down to. Brian?
Yes?
You lost.
I did not.
Yay.
You lost. Our listeners.
Are you serious?
Yep. Our listeners, the majority of them, said that they think it's a bad idea for Apple to start producing television shows and movies.
Huh.
I know. I was kind of surprised myself.
I thought I steamrolled John.
There was definitely steamrolling going both ways.
Yes, but the margin wasn't too big, was it? I mean, was it embarrassing?
Well, for Brian, it's embarrassing because he lost, but no, it wasn't a total landslide.
So what was the ratio? I mean,
it's about 3-2.
Was it a landslide? 3-2. So there's room for difference of opinion here and perhaps some statistical fluctuation. So it's not a total bust for Brian.
Give us some examples.
Even though he lost.
All right, so here's a couple examples or comments from listeners. So here's one from Wilhelm Oliva, and he says, "Boy, that argument was intense, but I want to come to the defense of John Martellaro. I think his argument was for focus. It's true that Beats 1 was a huge success, but are any products or services being hurt by Apple jumping into new industries when it's got products that haven't been updated in years and online services that lag behind what other companies can offer?"
Bingo.
You know, did I actually write about that? Was that something I talked about writing about, or that I actually wrote about?
You wrote
about saying that the solution for Apple's focus is not to not go into new adventures. That's just completely wrongheaded. I mean, you know, everything that Apple has done is going into a new venture. All the things that make Apple this juggernaut today were all new ventures.
Yeah, but they were all part of its DNA. The iPhone was Coco and Coco Touch, and beautiful user interface that put the other phones to shame. So that was in Apple's DNA.
That was not, man. Everyone said at the time, Apple doesn't know anything about smartphones. That was the meme at the time. It was a completely new thing.
That was Steve Ballmer at the time, but not us who knew
what we were talking about. That was a lot of people saying that Apple doesn't know anything about cell phones.
All of us who've been going to WWDC and following the development of Cocoa and Apple's development technologies and Xcode and its expertise in the user interface and its silicon expertise, we all knew. Come on, Brian.
He's
rewriting history.
That is revisionism. There were a lot of people who embraced Apple's iPhone, but the world as a whole said that Apple doesn't know anything about smartphones, that it's way outside its core competency, or cell phones, and that it didn't know anything about the industry.
So you're using the ignorance as a bulwark for your argument.
No, I'm talking
about...
About the reality of how this was greeted. I'm putting the people who are saying that Apple shouldn't be doing television shows in the same camp as those who were saying that Apple shouldn't do cell phones. That's actually what I'm arguing. But my bigger point here, John, is that Apple needs to learn to cope with its size. It needs to learn how to handle its size so that it can have that same focus when it does enter new ventures. The solution to that is not to pull back from doing anything new. The solution to that is to grow into its own shoes. And to grow into its size, it has to. It has too much money. It is too big. It is too
important. I know. I agree with you. And I think the thing that's in Apple's DNA is a great user interface, autonomous systems for cars and computer technology and battery technology. That's right up Apple's alley. I can't wait for the Apple car. And that's big money. And Hollywood production is a distraction. I don't want to revisit the argument. Jeff, read us one that was in favor of Brian. I want to hear
It's funny you should say that.
John is such a gentleman.
He's such a gentleman.
He is the consul. Listen, everybody. John is the... This is one reason why I get so incredibly furious when anyone is rude to John, especially on Twitter, and I'm looking at you, Sean King, is because John is the biggest gentleman on the planet.
Oh, shucks.
You are, man. You're certainly... If I am wrong there, you are at the very least the most gentlemanly person in the Mac web. This is an absolute fact.
Well, thank you. It's the only way to be.
I agree. You are a true gentleman. Someone we can all aspire to be more like. Now, that said, here's an email from Lauren Sims in support of Brian. He says, John is proof that you cannot change someone's mind once they've made it up, no matter how many facts or how much evidence you present on the other side. Belief cannot be argued with.
Boom.
Now, he goes on to say that Apple is already making all these great products and that they've gone into other services along with those products. And so I'll jump to the end. Jump to the end, Brother Maynard. Jump ahead, Brother Maynard. Apple now makes watches and a music streaming service and is apparently looking at automobiles. How is television production so very different? And then he says, some glitches with Yosemite, and that's referring to John, you saying that there are some problems with Yosemite, and Apple maybe should be focusing on those instead. He wraps up by saying, give me a fracking break. Brian right, John wrong.
Well, he makes some very good points. One would normally think that there's nothing outside of Apple's power or money or expertise, but maybe there are.
Oh, there's a lot of things that are well outside. I just think that every little new thing that they do is essentially outside of their expertise, and that they've become this monster by approaching those things.
Sure, yeah, and Apple finds ways to get into these areas where they aren't experts, and right now, what they've been doing is hiring people or buying companies.
Yeah, but look at for the Apple Watch, you know, hiring metallurgists, hiring all these fashion people, hiring, you know, like the way Apple looked at wrist-top computing and wearable technologies, wearable computing, and said, you know, we have to think differently about this. We need to approach this in a different way if we want people to actually use this stuff instead of, you know, just being limited to the world of geeks. And they just brought in all of these outside disciplines.
What a great job they did, too. They had experts who helped them design the band so that they would be hyperallergenic. They had people helping with design and watch history and legacy and how people approach watches. They got all the experts together and did a bang-up job on the watch, and that's why it's so great.
They invented their own alloys. I'm always fascinated by the metallurgy thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these things were well outside of Apple's core competency. You know, the entire rest of the world would simply have designed something and hired some people to do it. See ya.
Well, the key there was is that they brought in experts, but they enforced their own vision, which is why Apple doesn't buy companies like Tesla or Disney or Comcast or Time Warner. Apple gets the best experts together and then helps them. Those experts help Apple design its own vision, and the product is something wonderful.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
That's how they do it. It's great. How they could do that with Hollywood movie production, that would be interesting to see.
Well, with Hollywood movie production, what they could do is go and buy the shows that they see being produced that they think are going to sell well.
Yeah, like trying to acquire Top Gear, which was mildly brilliant.
There you go. Hey, we're out of time, which just breaks my heart because I would love to keep going on and on with this.
I salute your victory, John. I'm mystified by it, but I salute it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm looking forward to that steak and wine dinner.
We didn't have a bet on this one.
Oh, you don't remember the bet? Oh, Brian's memory is fading.
Yeah.
We have bets, but not on this one.
Oh, shucks.
John, don't forget the shows are actually recorded.
Then. Oh, okay.
Anyhow, John, thank you for being here today.
You're very welcome.
Brian, thank you for being here today, and thank you for being such a good sport.
Absolutely.
And Downcast, thank you for being our sponsor today. Everyone, head over to downcast.fm/TDO so that you can pick up Downcast, the app, and pop it on your iPhone so you can listen to shows like this in a really cool interface. Listeners, thank you for being here again today and all week. Now, Monday is Memorial Day or Labor Day or some day. I'm not supposed to wear white after Monday, I think. Anyhow, either way, on Monday, it's a holiday, and so we won't be recording a show. So we will see everyone again on Tuesday, and have a wonderful holiday weekend.